Hey everyone, welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, so that you can be more informed of all the latest updates, changes, and devices. For our inaugural episode, we had the chance to go live on YouTube from Google's campus, directly following the Google Hardware event. So, I hope you guys enjoy.
We are here live from Google, post the Made by Google event. So we were there earlier this morning, kind of got our hands on all the new stuff that Google's offering. Before we get into any of that stuff, I want to make a couple introductions. I know that with our traffic, our user base between our YouTube channel and the website can be a little different. And so I wanted to introduce a couple guys to you that just as much as I do make Chrome Unboxed tick. And so on my left, and coming off his first review, is Gabriel Bringers. And on my right is the man that's normally behind the camera. Today's not, Joe Humphrey. And you're looking at it. This is Chrome Unboxed. And so part of what we want to start doing here is using YouTube Live for stuff like this and special events and those kind of things, but also to actually start recording a podcast. We did a poll a few months back, and we asked, would you guys be interested in a podcast? And the overwhelming response was yes. We've not had the ability in our schedules to actually do that up until now, but we're going to make good on that for a little while, and hopefully be doing a bi-monthly podcast. And we're going to do it in this format as long as this works out. And basically the way we're going to work it is we're going to have YouTube Live times to where we can take some questions. And just like today, if you feel like hitting us up in chat, do it. We have a Chromebook down here. We're keeping up with things that are going on there. So we want to answer questions. We'll probably make some time for that at the end specifically, but we want to kind of have an interactive session that we can also take and use that audio as a podcast for those that can't make it whenever we have YouTube Live sessions. So we're going to see how it goes and see if that format works good for us, for you guys that want to listen to that podcast. But without further ado, we kind of want to get started with today's session.
Yeah, I mean, we're live from Google. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, we're live in Mountain View. Yeah, we're really excited to be here. But the whole reason we came out here was for the Made by Google, some people are calling it the Pixel 2 event. So Robbie or Gabe, you know, tell me a little bit about what this event was. What products did we see today? What are we most excited about, right?
For the most part, there wasn't a lot of surprises. This was all based around the new Pixel phone, just like last year's original Pixel phone. Now we have the Pixel 2, Pixel XL 2. But we knew that the Google Home Mini was coming, which is a small version of the Google Home speaker. They did have a couple of surprises. We had heard a leak about a Google Home Max, which is a large stereo speaker, but we did not expect to see it while we were here. It showed up, and it is a $400 massive adaptable learning speaker. I'm very interested in finding out more about it. And then they had the the Pixel Buds.
Yeah,
Pixel Buds. If you want to tell Pixel a little Buds. Bit more about that, because
this is one of the things for me at least that stole the show a little bit. The Pixel Buds are basically a set of wireless earbuds that on the surface don't look like that big of a deal. In general, you know, it's the wired earbuds that kind of sit on your neck. That you're not doing anything amazing that way. But what they do offer is obvious ties to Google Assistant and the ability to call on Google Assistant, similar to what we've seen in the Bose QC35-2s that just came out. And so we're going to see probably a lot of headphones that have this ability in them. But what was really striking about these is the real-time language translation that they did. And they did a demo on stage. And I'm sure if you haven't seen it, you can go back. I don't remember exactly where in the whole presentation that was, because it was an hour and a half event, something like that. So it's worth watching the whole thing. It was really well done. But they brought one of the speakers out that speaks Dutch, I think.
Swedish, something Swedish. I don't remember. A foreign language.
Yes, it was not English. So she came out and spoke in her native tongue, and I mean real time, was able to go back and forth in English. And
the phone was putting out the audio in English.
Yeah.
Right, and she was just speaking.
And she just speak her native tongue, and then
amazing.
It would speak to the other guy that had the phone, and it wasn't like I had to sit there and they had to push buttons between. It was just this seamless interaction, and that the idea and seeing what that could look like, man, that's exciting stuff. Yeah. That was a cool surprise today.
Yeah. So and obviously, I mean, there was a phone announced, right? Was there a new phone that came out today?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about this phone.
Actually, was really exciting because there was a lot of talk of the smaller version being dumbed down a little bit, and they took a few digs at Apple and came out. Mario actually came out and announced the phones. They are essentially matching hardware. They didn't dumb down the smaller version, but
apart from what, the screen?
The screen.
That's the only thing.
The screen's
that's
the only real difference. So you have the same processor, pretty much same everything, just a smaller form factor.
Yeah. And again, the part where I think Google was able to not let all the stuff out of the bag before the event was with the camera. Yeah. And so they got to come and unveil this camera that they've already had DxO Mark test, and for those of you who don't know what that is, it's just a company that tests cameras in general. And last year they were able to unveil the Pixel, and Pixel XL is having the highest DxO Mark score. 88 it was, and they got bumped to 90.
It was somewhere. It ranged 87 to 90, but it was the highest ever.
And then iPhone has come out. The iPhone 8 has come out, and it looks like it has just a staggeringly good camera, a couple points higher than that. And I've just been, the stuff I've seen online has looked amazing, what it's been capturing. And Google got to come out today and say, we had this thing run through DxO Mark, and it scored the highest score ever at a 98.
Yeah.
And that's out of 100. And DxO doesn't just give away their scores easily. So there's a ton. Well, we could spend a ton of time talking about that. But it's worth watching again, worth watching the video back and looking at some of the stuff they're doing. Like, portrait mode with dual cameras is a thing, that everybody's kind of excited about. And they're able to do some sort of dual pixel thing and create that depth look, that DSLR look, with a single camera, and some of the machine learning and AI, and that's been behind everything they talked about today. So taking artificial intelligence, taking hardware and software, and making them go together, that was behind literally everything they did today, and clearly their focus moving forward. And they did the same thing with the camera, so it's a mix of cool software and machine learning, AI, and all that stuff that they can do all these cool tricks with, and man, it looks like it is going to be stunning.
But obviously, guys, I mean, we flew all the way out here for one particular product that was announced today. So tell me a little bit about the Pixelbook.
I mean, it's just about everything that we thought it was. They announced it. We were 99.99% sure that they would. We had some inside info that came to us in the last couple of days that kind of keyed us in on some of the features that it was and was not going to have. But the minute we walked out of the event and were able to get hands on the device, wow. It is phenomenal. The first thing you will notice about it is thin.
Yes.
It is 10.3 millimeters thin, and it is gorgeous. It is a laptop version of a Pixel phone, glass back across the top and everything. So.
Yeah, and I echo that because, the event was crowded today, and so it was a good hour after it was over before I did anything more than just literally touch. I just reached out and kind of touched it. And then, I was like, I'm not gonna fight with people. I'll wait. And the guys at Google, man, were just so gracious. We had quite a few people on the Chrome OS team. We got to spend a lot of time with them and talk with them, and they got to share with us how often they're reading the site, and so that was really, really cool. So shout out to them. They were awesome today. I remember just being stunned when I picked it up because it's 1 kilogram, so it's not heavy.
No.
And just for perspective, hold your smartphone up. Likely your smartphone, maybe with a case, if you have a real thin case, is about as thick as the entire Pixelbook is.
Yeah.
And they've done some really awesome engineering so that when you fold it into tablet mode, they sold this on stage, right? But it's absolutely true that when you flip it into tablet mode, it's the first convertible I've ever held that actually feels like a tablet when it's in tablet mode. Still got the keys on the back, but other than that, I mean, the build quality, I can't
Yeah, they did some things with the screen. It's likely identical to the screen in the Samsung Chromebook Pro, but they have the bezels shaped in such a way that it's very symmetrical. They pointed out the build of the keyboard is very, very intentional. There are recesses on the keyboard, and the trackpad is recessed as well. So when it is in tablet mode and it's flipped over on a table, nothing, the etched glass touchpad, the keyboard, nothing comes in contact with anything because it is a soft touch keyboard. And I was reading, I don't think I told you this, the travel is actually less than one, it is 0.8 is the travel on the device.
Right. We talked with one of the engineers that's been working on Chromebooks since the beginning, and he was talking specifically about the keyboard and how intentional they were about getting the travel right, but then getting the responsiveness right so that it clicked up when it was supposed to. And you know, we don't want to be people that go and hate on other things, but you know, I've typed on the new keyboard that's on Macs, the real slim travel one, especially on the MacBook, and the travel is just, I don't like it. It almost feels like you're hitting on just a hard surface. It barely moves whatsoever. And I get it. You want to have a thin device with a thin keyboard. And they said they went through painstaking ordeals and trials. I can't remember how many hundreds of attempts they went through to get the keys just right. And I'm not joking. It feels better than typing on the first two pixels. And that's saying something, because those keyboards on those things are amazing. It feels better. And from what you're saying, the travel is actually less somehow. Yeah. So I don't know. That there is a ton of engineering that went into this device. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so design is top-notch. And I mean, that's what we heard. We knew that they wanted to put out a top-notch product, you know, that was on par with anything else you could really buy in this category.
Yeah,
so the design and the build of this thing is amazing. But let's talk a little bit about features.
If we could take we have a few watchers, viewers asking some questions, so we don't get a little too backlogged. They've asked about the pen, because the pen is a big part of the picture.
Yeah, so let's talk features and pen. Yeah, so how those kind of interact, and what unique things does this Pixelbook do? Yeah,
so the Pixelbook pen, it is a separate accessory. It's $99, but it's obviously a little bit more like a writing utensil than the Samsung Pro and Plus, a little bit less than a natural feel as like the Acer Spin, say, but it is made, designed specifically for the Pixelbook.
Got some Googlers.
It does have a barrel button, and this is probably the most interesting feature as of right now. The barrel button invokes the assistant. So we have some video we'll share maybe later tonight or in the morning. You can hold that button, circle an item on your screen or highlight text, and it will invoke the assistant to do a contextual search, share information based on whatever that item is. We've had some people asking about the pen, if it will work with other devices. They worked hand in hand with Wacom to make this. It's plausible that it might work with some other devices. I wouldn't buy one and count on it.
Yeah. Well, and from a lot of the stuff we've dug up in the repositories, I'm pretty sure that this is the first Chromebook with an active. We did a story about that. It's an active Wacom digitizer. So there's a chance, because it does take a battery. So there's probably some stuff in there that it may or may not work.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy it thinking, hey, I want to buy this to have a nicer pen for my Samsung or other digitizer or stylus enabled Chromebook, because I'm not sure how those things will work. Obviously, when we get one in our hands, we can try some of that stuff.
Yeah,
and we have it was really cool to go in there, because they didn't just have a couple of these laying around for us to look at. They actually had one area of the event set up with, I don't know, what was it, probably 10, maybe a dozen?
I was going to say like 15.
Yeah, 15 Chromebooks that had displayed on them images that people had drawn completely with the Pixelbook pen. And it's pretty phenomenal, because, I mean, you're looking at a device, at a pen that will detect over 2,000 different pressure levels, 60% angular detection.
60 degree.
Yeah, 60 degree angular detection. And writing with it. It feels
real nice.
And I noticed, I noticed instantly, as soon as I started writing with it, just the latency.
That was another thing.
There was just, 10 milliseconds. I mean, it just feels so much like writing. And I mean, the Pro did a really good job with this, but mm-hmm. I think they've really even improved it more here.
Oh yeah.
The latency isn't, to me, honestly, was not noticeable.
No,
I literally couldn't notice any sort of latency whenever I was writing.
Pen to paper.
Yeah.
And I saw somebody in there ask, does it open with one hand? I did try that, and yes, it does. I held it in my hand in one finger to open. Yeah. So, everybody knows I'm a little bit of a stickler on that kind of stuff.
And before we go any further, the VM features, we'll go ahead and let you know, we did have some aside time with some of the developers and the heads of the Chrome OS department, and we'll talk about that later this week. Just so you know, this was Google's hardware event. It was a reflection of last year's hardware event. This is where Google is putting their marketing dollars to sell products to the general public. There was not any discussion about that from the stage, and likely that's not something you're going to hear about on mainstream news, because that's for the majority, well, not the majority, but a lot of our readers and a lot of the stuff that we write about, the general public doesn't really care about, and we'll share some of that later.
Yeah, that
people
could
know that there's a nice looking Chromebook out there, right. and they can go buy it.
And speaking, though, kind of back to some of the other specs that are on it, the memory options, we kind of pressed a couple different people about memory options. So, like, why do you put so much memory on a Chromebook? And they brought up some really good points. And one of them being, as app developers are now going to have a reason, more of a platform, something that's advertised, and they're going to have a reason to build more desktop quality applications that will run in Android still, sure, but on Chromebooks, and specifically the Chromebook Pixel. And as that kind of happens, and we see that kind of unfolding more, like Adobe would be a perfect example. They showed and had Lightroom running, and it's a desktop class Lightroom. It's not the normal Android app version of Lightroom. And so as you start seeing more and more applications like this, people are going to be storing more and more stuff. And so if you're using Lightroom, you might be editing and photos that are massive, and you might have hundreds of them that you need to keep locally stored before you start sending stuff elsewhere. And so, that kept kind of reiterating, like, we want to make sure we have an option for pretty much any use case that you could throw at it. So that was kind of their answer to the large hard drives. There still could be a lot of stuff going on, like we said, with the container and the container technology and all that kind of stuff could play out. Whether we ever see it mainstream or not, that could be a reason behind some of that too.
Yeah, and someone else asked about an eSIM on the Pixel Book. Probably not, but again, it's Google. Who knows? I mean, they had an LTE version before, but it's been a very narrow market there. I think there's only one. Current Chromebook and the Asus 200, I think.
Yeah, that has LTE.
I mean, they might not. It's just not something that's really a huge issue. So,
but one feature we did see today was the instant tethering.
Yes.
So let's talk about that for a second, because that was really interesting to me.
So we talked to it's been probably a couple months since that was uncovered, and like, hey, this is being added to Chrome OS and Chromebooks and all that kind of stuff. This is the first time we've seen it.
Yeah.
Blatantly mentioned, like, it's just, hey, this is a thing that Pixelbook does. And
right.
So.
Yeah, and we see, I think Chrome Story is actually the ones that uncovered it, but we've seen some guys in the Google community who've shared how it works. And essentially what it is if you have a Pixel phone and you have a Pixelbook, and presumably this will work with other Chromebooks in the future, but from the flag that we've found, it's the phones have to be Google specific.
Yeah.
So Nexus 6P, 5X, Pixel, Pixel XL, whatever the current Google phones are, if you come within range of your Chromebook and you're in range with your Chromebook and you drop your network connection for whatever reason, your Wi-Fi, it will automatically connect to your phone and use its mobile data connection so you don't lose your connectivity.
Yeah, which is... will come in really handy.
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
So let's talk a little bit about some of those other features that we saw today. We didn't get a fingerprint ring, fingerprint scanner, right?
No,
but we got an assistant button. So talk a little bit about that and some of those other key features that you found on the device.
Yeah, right? we talked through some of this stuff. This is months ago too, where we found, hey, it's going to be a new keyboard layout. Here's the keys that are going on it, and one of those things is an assistant key. It's there. Click it, assistant pops up in the bottom left-hand side, and you can interact with it just like you would assume. It'll also answer to saying okay, and I'm not going to say it so that your all's phones and stuff don't light up. Yeah, say the keyword and it'll pop up. But additionally, that top row has changed on the Pixelbook as well. So you got that far right button now instead of being like on a lot of convertibles, the lock button, that's gone. You've got a contextual button that actually opens up your tray over on the right-hand side. You've got a play pause button there in the middle. They've gotten rid of the forward button. I think that's it, isn't it? I don't think there's anything else that changed on there. But yeah. It's cool to see those new keys and that new keyboard setup. You know, it's just being those more of that stuff of like, yeah, we uncovered this stuff early, and here it is. Like, here it is in the flesh, you know, on this Chromebook.
Yeah, guys. And, I mean, you know, the features, you know, are supporting the hardware, right? So, I mean, you know, that's what they said on stage is that this is a device that's, you know, software and hardware working perfectly together with AI, so with the assistant built right in, right? So, you know, we've got this device now. So what exactly does this mean for the Chrome OS ecosystem kind of, you know, as a whole, right? So we've got this great new device. What does it mean moving forward?
I think if you can think about the fact that this device is expensive, but there's a very different attitude towards this than there was with the 2015 Chromebook Pixel. So the 2015 Chromebook Pixel came in, they dropped the price kind of for the entry level to $999, which should sound familiar. That's what Pixelbooks comes in at. The interesting part is when Google put out the Chromebook Pixel in 2015, just like they did in 2013, they brought this device out and said, hey, this is for, you know, maybe a handful of developers, and it's just a showcase to show what Google can do with Chrome OS. That was really kind of the whole idea, not worried about selling too many of them. And a lot of people thought, well, maybe that's what they're doing with Pixelbook too. And I've contended the whole time and was affirmed in this with talking to the guys on the Chrome OS team. That's not the direction they're looking at with this device. And so, sure, it's the same price. Sure, it's super premium. But they included it in the Made by Google event. And just like Gabriel alluded to just a little bit ago, if you think about this, you know, that this event was for mainstream consumers. This event, you know, we love our readers. We love the people that come by our blog. We love people that comment. But for the most part, you all, and us, we don't represent the general consumer. We don't represent the general person that walks into Best Buy or B&H or any of these other places. We're not those people. We'll dig and we'll look and we'll research all this kind of stuff. That's not the general consumer. The general consumer, you know, sees stuff at the store, sees a commercial, and that's how they hear about these products, and that's exactly where they've aimed this device. And so regardless of price and how great it is, and you know, maybe it's high aim for a Chromebook, Google clearly is aiming this thing at general consumers.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing that they really emphasize after we got to chat with them after the event, is that their push now is for the general public to have a real awareness of Chrome OS and what Chromebooks are and what they can do, because, you know, the fact of the matter is there are a large number of people using them now, but there's still a lot of people who, if you ask them what a Chromebook is, they might not have even heard of them. So that's their goal now, is to make it a marketable product for the general public.
Right.
And by making the Pixelbook, they did what Google does, and they're creating a high-end product that's still affordable when you look at other devices. And I mean, because let's look at the Surface laptop, $999, and they were targeting college students, I guess, is who they were aiming it at. So to spend $1,000 on a high-end Chromebook, I just don't think it's that big of a reach.
And they pointed out some other stuff too that was really, really interesting when I asked, because I pressed on this a little bit too. Just like, okay, well, you know, doesn't this seem a little bit out of reach for somebody that's saying, hey, I want to spend this much money, you know, on a Chromebook, because it's not going to do as much stuff as I wanted to do, right?
Right.
And that kind of comes back to this whole idea that now that there's a platform, there are going to be more desktop class applications that are coming along. And yeah, they couldn't comment on it and they couldn't say specifically what was going on, but it's clear and the writing is very much on the wall that that's the direction it's going. And this device kind of as a halo device basically becomes the one that people get, and it may honestly be kind of as a status symbol. They pointed that out. They've done demographic research and seen kids that have whatever device it is when they go and they graduate and they go to college and they're going to go buy their first device they're taking somewhere. They want to buy something that works for them, right. But it also is like, I want to show that I'm here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's a status symbol.
I don't want it to look like a toy. And so they've realized that there's a massive section of the market, and that's their most rapidly growing portion of the laptop market in general, is that $1,000 plus device. It's just where the market is, and they want their piece of it. They're going after that piece too. And as functionality kind of meets up with it, and I think it'll happen quicker now because of this device, things change in that space pretty rapidly. And I think that's kind of what Pixelbook does. You know, a year ago, if you walked down the street and said, "Hey, you gonna get a Google Home?" Most people would look at you and go, "What?
Yeah, wait, what
does that mean?
About?
What does that even mean?" Yeah. Now, you can buy them at Lowe's, Walmart. I mean, they're everywhere, and people know whether they're buying them or not. It's one thing, but they know what it is, and I think this device, as a halo device, is going to kind of have that effect. Whether you buy it or not, you know, cool, but people are going to know what Chromebooks are. They're going to know what Chrome OS is, and that's going to change things fundamentally over the course of the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, speaking of people getting this product, when do we expect to start seeing this thing? You know, what's can people pre-order this thing? Where can you get one,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Google did say available on October 31st. Pre-orders are up now for both i5 configurations, so you can get the Intel Core i5 with 128 gigs of storage, 8 gigs of RAM, or 8 gigs of RAM and 256 gigs of storage, pre-ordered at the Google Store, store.google.com, and it is available on Amazon already. We have a link in the description below. You can check that out. They did not give exacts on the Core i7. Not sure when it will be available. It's not even up for pre-order yet. But $999 gets you the Core i5 with 128 gigs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. $99 gets the pen. And there's been some people asking about the pen on the site already and Twitter and everywhere else. Where do you put it when you're not using it? Because it's not like the Pro and the Plus. There's no, it's not stowable. They apparently have already started marketing some coming soon sleeves for the Pixelbook that have a place for the pen to go. I know that may not be the best solution for some of you, but you know, it is what it is. It's a very hardy pen that's meant to feel like a real writing utensil, so stowing it in a 10 millimeter thick device would be a little bit difficult.
Yeah, the pen is way thicker than the device.
Yeah.
That ain't happening.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I just realized we didn't give the details on the Twitter.
Yeah, stuff. that was where I was about ready to lead to. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I mean that's it. I mean, for the most part, guys, today we just wanted to give you all a little recap of the event and obviously talk about what we came here for, which was the Pixelbook. We're really excited about this device and we're excited for what it means for Chrome OS. So we hope that you all continue to support and, you know, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the website. And just follow along with this. And so, you know, for everyone that's tuned in, we've got quite a few viewers right now, which is great. You know, we're really excited about this. I mean, we're out here in Google, and we just went to an awesome Google event. We kind of had to remind ourselves all day, like, we're just as excited about all of this as everyone else, you know, that's here. You know, so we want to share a little bit of that love. So we're going to be doing a giveaway. We're going to do a giveaway for a Chromecast. All you have to do is share this video. So share a link to this video on Twitter, tag us at Chrome Unboxed, and use the hashtag made by Google. Everyone that does that will be entered to win. We'll pick a winner, let's say this time next week.
Yeah,
there you go.
This time next week. All right. We really have all the details here,
absolutely,
as you can tell.
Yeah, what is live, baby.
Today's Wednesday, right?
Yeah, so
we're figuring it out as we're going here. All right, so we'll do a giveaway just to share a little bit of that love and the excitement that we have for this, and we hope that you guys share that and get entered to win. So, Robbie, anything else you wanna say, man?
No. I think there's obviously we're going to be talking about Pixelbook for a long time. Hopefully, when we're talking about when it could be available, at the end of October, sure, pre-orders and stuff are available, but we're hoping to be able to get our hands on one within the week. Not really sure
what will or won't be covered under embargo. My guess would be none of that stuff would, since it's kind of unveiled fully. So the minute we get our hands on it, obviously we're going to be unboxing that guy and giving you some real world testing. We're going to do a lot of different stuff with this one because, again, we're putting all this effort behind it because this is a kind of a monumental device in the life of Chrome OS, in the life probably of our website in general. We realize the scope and the kind of the grandeur that's going to follow this device. We're excited about it. And so we want to give it some special treatment. We want to give it extra time and review. We're just going to do some cool stuff around it. And so make sure, I know Joe's already said this, but make sure if you're not already, subscribe to the channel. And give us some thumbs up on here and check out some of the other reviews that we have. Go to the website. There's a place to sign up for the newsletter so that you kind of get breaking news. If you're into Chrome OS and into Chromebooks, it's a great place to keep up with stuff. We're finding out every day more and more people that are getting their Chromebook fix through Chrome Unbox.
Absolutely.
So, subscribe, be a part of it. We have a great comment section. We have great readers. And we're just excited about the general scope of Chrome OS and where it's going. And so, unless you guys have anything else.
No, that's it. That's it, folks.
Yeah,
that's
we're happy to have our first live one in the books. Yeah. Like I said, we'll wrap this up and kind of clean it up a little bit and have a podcast out. Obviously, again, if you're subscribed, you'll see us talking about those things. And don't forget about social media, too. So we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Google+, all at Chrome Unbox. And so you can follow along there. We'll let you know when the first podcast is ready. We'll get it on as many places as we can so that whatever your podcast source of choice is, hopefully you'll be able to get it from there.
And like Robbie said, we're going to be doing some more of these. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So this isn't a one-time thing.
It
won't be from Google.
It won't be from Google. It's not going to be this cool. We're gonna continue this dialogue and keep chatting. So until next time, guys, see you.
All right, guys. See you.
Hey, guys. Thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. Along with tons of other info covered in this episode. Additionally, you can find us online on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ by searching Chrome Unboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.